Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, February 25th, the year of our Lord, 2024, and it is the second Sunday in Lent. Lenten blessings to you. It's a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. Where I stand, it is a beautiful sunny morning on Pensacola Beach. And I pray that we can share some of that with you during our time together. So let's start. Let's do what is our practice here, which is to begin in a spirit of thanksgiving and to be thankful for life by taking in the breath of life, by breathing in and holding it and savoring it and letting go. Life is beautiful, and life is good. Life is a gift from our Creator. And so as you breathe, call to mind the people and the places, the things, the situations that just light you up inside. It's all a gift. Give thanks to God for all of it. And in this mind of thankfulness and thanksgiving, with God at the center of our attention, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in the opening prayer. It's printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin to the left of where you found today's podcast. Just come to the left, just below that line. It says Sermon Notes. Click on that tab. And the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. God of Sarah and Abraham, long ago you embraced your people in covenant and promised them your blessing. Strengthen us in faith that with your disciples of every age, we may proclaim your deliverance in Jesus Christ to generations yet unborn. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, beginning in the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 7, and then jumping to verses 15 through 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. We give thanks to God for it. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. We thank you for the gifts of life and love, the gift of your presence, your covenant with us to be our God. We thank you for the gift of this word alive and among us, your holy word. May it strengthen us. May it remind us of your love for us, your presence with us. We pray that during this time of reflection that you will be with us to guide us and guard us, to save us from distraction and misinterpretation. We ask all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, here on the second Sunday in Lent, we are blessed with this reading from Genesis, this reading about covenant and relationship, which ought to be a great part of our time together with God in this season of repentance and reflection, where we try to purge from ourselves those things which inhibit our ability to relate with God and to the world around us. This beautiful story in Genesis, this foundational story, which is very important for us right now, right where we live. This story where we get some clarity on it back in Genesis chapter 12, where there's this very famous moment where God says to Abram, "Go, pack up your stuff, settle your accounts, and go from your country and your kin to a place that I have prepared for you." God creating this new covenant community away from the established and corrupted order of things, but will eventually be a blessing to the whole world. And if we move forward to Genesis chapter 15, this covenant promise, the wonderful vision that we have of God in conversation, in vision with Abram. "Look at the night sky, look at the stars. Your descendants, Abram, will be more numerous than the stars." And Abram takes it in, and yet he's overwhelmed by it. How is it? Some level he's humored by it. How is it that I could have descendants as numerous as the stars, as I'm old, and we have no kids? "Sarah, I can't have kids. You know this, God." But God is a God who keeps his promises. Now we have today's reading in the 17th chapter of Genesis. And again, this covenant-making God interacts with Abram, now 99 years old. He's an old man. And he's been faithful, and he can't help but wondering where it's all going. How is this covenant going to play out? Has he led everyone astray? Has he been deceived? But God comes to Abram. And he says, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant. And this, just focus on this. I've been focusing on this for a while. This is verse 2 of chapter 17. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous. This God, the one that at the beginning of this beautiful book, in this wonderful poetic telling of the story of God's creation, Elohim bara, God creates it all. Every, down to every incredible, mysterious, beautiful detail, God breathes it all into order, breathes it all into beauty. And in the midst of it all, humankind comes as a steward of it all. And that relationship changes. Do yourself a favor and read Genesis over the season of Lent. You can even cheat a little bit. Get yourself an audio Bible, and you can, as long as you can understand it, adjust the playback speed. And listen to it and read it and then read some commentaries on it. I'll put some information in the bulletin for you to consider. Back to the story at hand. God and Abram. God reminding Abram that he is still there, that this covenant will hold, that his descendants will be numerous. But again, right at the beginning, we have this, when Abram was 99 years old. I've been reflecting on that for a bit. Now, I'm not 99 years old, but I am coming up on my 59th birthday. And I'm not as quick as I used to be. Occasionally, I review the 401k, and I think about when it might be in the near future or somewhere in the future when I might be able to retire. And God reminds us there's no retiring. You don't punch out from this covenant with God. You might stop being an account executive. You might stop being an accountant or an attorney or a plumber or an electrician. You might stop whatever that thing that was your occupation. But you never stop your vocation. We, as baptized sons and daughters of our Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't make a difference how old you are. Everyone has a role in keeping this covenant promise. This is an ancient story, but it's every bit as present and alive in our hearing and reading right now as it was in the moment when Abram and God had this intimate moment thousands of years ago. It's still alive. And let me encourage you with that. My congregation is mostly older than me. And it may be that your home churches see the same thing. Got mostly older folks in the pew. Don't quit. Don't give up. There are new expressions of church with younger believers. And I'm actually finding within our own church next generations of folks who have become disillusioned with the world around them. Are coming to be with us, coming to hear something that isn't so fleeting and passing and worldly and temporal, that this notion of the presence of God and eternal truth might just have something for them. So keep the faith, friends. And you might not be as spry as you used to be, but you can listen to a podcast and you can send it to somebody else. You can continue in one way or another to reflect on these sacred ancient stories, the central and defining stories of what it means to be a human being fully alive in the presence of God, keeping the covenant. Age wasn't an issue for God and Abraham. It's not an issue for you and me. Secondly, this whole thing about covenant. Covenants are not contracts. Covenant is this relationship that God declares with humankind. I'm making it with you. We didn't negotiate it. We didn't have our attorneys get together to talk about it. I'm just telling you how it is. Which is essentially, I love you. And I seek your flourishing. And your prosperity. And my only ask of you is that you follow me and that you love me in return. And constantly throughout all of the books of Scripture, we see how we human beings, the stewards of this creation, sin and fall short of God's covenant love for us. But one of the beautiful things about God's covenant promise with us is that it's saturated with grace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That who would ever seek to be in relationship with him would not perish, but participate in life eternal. That's this covenant. Now, there are other people trying to make other covenants. This is the season where we reflect on Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, where he's tempted by the devil to participate in other promises and other covenants. Right? And he uses Scripture to try to entice the Lord with it. There's all kinds of people. And right now, this is an election year here in the United States. And there are all kinds of people making all kinds of promises. Our rights, our guidance, truth, compassion, it all comes from God. And don't let anyone tell you anything else. So the old man, 99 years old, has this relationship with God who promises him and his wife, Sarai, that they're going to have a son, and then there's going to be a lot of children and a lot of grandchildren. Nations are going to spring forth from them, which is a bit overwhelming, but it's the kind of covenant promise that God makes, the one who creates the heavens and the earth. It's so amazing and so overwhelming and such an encounter that God realizes that this new thing that God is doing will require new names, needs to be marked by a renaming of Abram and Sarai. That Abram shall become Abraham, as God says, "For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations." That's you and I, my friends. Says also to Abraham, Sarai now needs a change of name. For Sarai, your wife, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Significant moments in our lives change our names and our titles. You may have retired from one title, whatever that primary thing that was your occupation, but you are still a beloved child of God. You are a husband, a wife, a friend, a neighbor, a son, a daughter, a student. We have different names, and particularly significant moments in our lives cause for a change in title and in name. And before I go on too long, I just want to encourage you to read and reread this passage as encouragement in the here and now. That while it feels sometimes that age is an obstacle, God says no. It seems at times that present circumstances are an obstacle. But God calls us to have faith and to persevere and to call on the community. That time in God's kingdom is not an issue, that age in God's kingdom is not an issue, that wealth in God's kingdom is not an issue. The primary thing is for us to walk in the presence of God, to seek God's face, and to hear God's voice, and to speak God's name, and to tell the story. If there is a way for us to live out our vocation of church, and we talked about this maybe a couple weeks ago, that for us to be church actively is to pray, is to serve, and to evangelize. And under the category of prayer, I put scripture reading. And all of us can serve in different ways. That's our very active ways of serving. If it's charitable giving, if it's serving by praying and evangelizing. And maybe, I was thinking about this week, that maybe evangelization begins with yourself. Evangelize yourself. Take in the good word of God this week for yourself. Learn something new about your faith this week for yourself. So when that opportunity comes up over coffee, or a friend has a question, or a grandchild, or a neighbor, or a son, or a daughter, you can say, you know, I've been thinking about that. I read this article. I read this passage in a devotional book that I, as I was evangelizing myself. And I thought of you, and I wanted you to hear it. Maybe it is that you want them to hear the story of a man and a woman who thought their productive years were behind them, and then came to find out in a big way that God had other plans. There's tremendous good news in all of this, friends. I say it all the time, and I mean it every time I say it. One of the greatest ways that we can evangelize ourselves and find a deep level of eternal prosperity for our lives is to take in the words of our faith, to offer the prayers of our faith, to sing the songs of our faith, to go forth into the world in the name of our God and our faith. It changes everything, and it will keep us strong. It will fill us with the hope and the peace and the love, the joy, and the good news of our God. To which I say, Amen. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Joseph and Moses and Aaron, God of Naomi and Ruth and Esther, God of Mary and Joseph and James and John and Peter, God of the unnamed faithful, Father of our Lord Jesus, we call out to you and we pray. We pray to be keepers of this covenant promise that you have made with us, with Abram, Abraham, Sarai, Sarah, and us as their descendants. We pray that you will keep us strong and hope-filled and faithful. Help us to share this good news as best we can with friends and neighbors. As we take it into our own hearts and our own minds, may it overflow from us and radiate from us so that we could be a blessing to all we encounter. God, we pray for the people who make big decisions, who seem to have egos bigger than the decisions they make. I pray that according to your will and in your way, you bring them humility. Bring them to faith, O God, in ways that they could hear your voice and do your work in the world. We thank you, God, for the gifts of the church, the body of Christ, for every humble volunteer, for every person that does their level best to find their way into a pew if they can, to spend time every week in prayer and in reading your word, in acts of service and evangelization. And God, you know the stuff of our hearts, the distractions of everyday life, the joys and the concerns, the things that we're planning for and hoping for, and in the ways that our hearts break, the things that make us pace the floor, all of these we often keep on a prayer list. Or it turns itself over in our mind in the middle of the night. We make a moment right now, O God, to share all of this with you between the two of us. God, we pray, each and every one of us, that as we make a quiet moment, that you will come and you will speak to our hearts. Let me break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we thank you for the generations of faithful who have saved for us our stories and our prayers. We pray that you hear us, that you join us as we say together this prayer that goes by your name. Hear us, God, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, my prayer is this, that God would bless us and keep us, that God would watch over us and protect us and make his face to shine upon us, to encourage us, to bless us with peace. our God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.